Well, welcome to the DNK Repos Non-League Show. And tonight we've got, it's just like the Living Legends programme. It's unreal, unbelievable. So starting off on the top, Reichel's joining us, stepping in for Keith. Of course, he's off his head on morphine, as he's just texted us to let us know. Of course, he's Ali, so welcome back, Ali.
Hey, everyone.
And of course, then to the left, to one of the clubs, with probably the ground that I love going to, or one of the grounds that I love going to more than any other. And of course, that's Brett, manager at Brighton & Two Regent. Welcome, Brett.
Thanks for having me, David. Thank you.
And then he's back, the Mr. Vanarama, manager of the month as well. I mean, what? And just unbelievable. Hey, flying. Hey, and Mr. Craig Edwards. Welcome back, Craig.
Cheers, boys and ladies.
And of course, living legend for two reasons. One, because of course he just is a living legend, TV star. He's been on the old BT Sport in his own show and all the rest of it. And of course he has to put up with you, and then he has to put up with his physio. I mean, that makes him a living legend star, doesn't it?
It's easy.
Oh look, he's gone.
He's pulled him off the air.
He's hit his AirPods and lost himself. See, that's how much stress—that's the stress she puts him under. Straight away, bang, gone.
You spoke her name, and look what happened.
I know she's watching. I don't know if she's watching. If she is watching, I did like it. It was a nice haircut, anyway, and she did that. It was quite nice on the old TikTok the other night. But I mean, this week though, guys. I mean, football wise, I mean, how's everybody been? I mean, have we got training in the last week? Have we had a game? I mean, that's the first thing, Craig.
Yeah, we hadn't played for a couple of weeks, and we played Slough Saturday at home, and probably won a point rather than lost two. I thought we was pretty ordinary. I thought they were the better side, to be honest, on the day, but we had the better chances. We had some really good chances. So yes, but it's you know where we are now that we're disappointed. We only got a point. But more disappointed with the performance.
Mm. Turn that off. But I mean, in all fairness, though, mate, you know, after a bit of a sticky start, you've been flying of late. But I mean, I was quite surprised to see your striker go, though.
Yeah, you know, I go back a long way with Rowan. I had him as when he basically got him up the parks when he was 18, 19. Had him at Billericay, did really well for us, and then we sold him to Reading, and he's had a terrific career since then. But he's found it difficult this year. I don't know if he's just had the baby, travelling, and like he just didn't seem to have that appetite, you know. And his goals dried up. I think he got one in the last 20, like of our games. And I sat down. He weren't playing too badly, but we needed goals, and I spoke to someone over Ramsgate, and they put an offer in. They said that he'd be interested. Basically, Ron would have only been interested if he gets this year and next year, because it gives him the security, and we wouldn't have been able to offer him anything for next year. So I thought it was one of them perfect transfers where it was good for us. It was, you know, very good for Rowan. And I think it's very good for Ramsgate, you know, because I think he should murder it, you know, with all due respect to Step Four.
And of course, then he goes there and they lose their manager. What's he done there?
Got him sacked. I had to get rid of him. I said, I would have been gone tonight. Yeah. No, I don't know what's happened there. Do you know why he went off?
I just ping up on that. On my feed, that was all I saw.
I mean, it's dropping from top to second. He's definitely sackable, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. You never know what goes on, you know, in the background, what's happening there. But yeah, it was a strange one.
Crazy stuff. And what about yourself, Brett? Though this the weekend had the man as well, and he scored as well, didn't he?
Yeah, we had Folkestone on Saturday. Like Craig, we had a couple of weeks off prior to that. Unfortunately, we went down to Lewis last Saturday and it got called off when we got there, which weren't too pleasant. But yeah, we played Folkestone on Saturday. It was a really, really big win for us. We've been doing all right since the turn of the year, but obviously we're in a difficult situation. Craig's in a slightly better situation than us, but probably had a similar sort of start. But yeah, we seem to have turned the corner on Saturday. We were 2-1 down with about 20 minutes left and managed to score late and win the game. But I thought we deserved it, to be fair. I think they had two shots throughout the 90 minutes and scored both goals. And we certainly created a little bit more. Really, really happy. And we've got a game tomorrow. So quick turnaround for us. But hopefully we can build on it.
It was quite funny though. We were sitting there going through the scores actually, the games actually before we on our commentary we did on Saturday, and we were going through the games about who we fancied to win, and of course I just had that feeling. I don't know why on Saturday I just had that feeling he was going to win that, and I was quite happy that he proved me right with the bloke who was sitting next to me who thought he was going to be a Folkestone win, but it was quite funny.
I was going to say earlier when you was talking about, you know, accumulator busters, I was thinking, I bet we busted a few on Saturday.
talking about people that busted your accumulators, Neil, how did you get on at the weekend, mate?
Yeah, we drew 2-2 against a very good Lewis side, who obviously have got their playing style and want to pass it around. And, you know, we can match teams if they want to do that. But, you know, go 2-0 up at half-time. We always said to the boys at half time, you know, the next goal's important. You know, we've not done anything yet. And lo and behold, within 5 or 6 minutes, they get a goal, you know, from our set piece. And gifted them really that one. And then we gifted them a second one as well. So disappointed, but we've come a long way since, you know, when I first went in there to where we are now. You know, we're still a club on the up.
Mm. Oh, absolutely. I mean, for me, Lewis have been the best, you know, coming to sort of Enfield games that I've seen. I think Lewis have probably been the best side that I've seen down there. They were absolutely outstanding on the day. I mean, they just ripped Enfield to pieces on the day and were brilliant. So, you know, two good games.
Down at their place was a good game. You know, we went down to 10 men, 1-1. And then obviously on Saturday, 2-2. But yeah, there's some good sides in this division. You know, we played against Herne Bay the other day, and their position doesn't belie how they play as well. So, you know, teams are trying to do the right thing, play the right way, but sometimes you've got to play to win.
That's a good omen, Neil. 1-1, 1-1 down there and 2-2 at home. That's what we did last year with them.
Oh, well, fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. Yeah. I was lucky
to watch you guys at Lewis versus Crowe. I went down to Lewis to watch it, and you both break two great teams. It was a really good match. And my dad went to the last match last weekend rather than my game, which is quite telling in itself. Yeah, great game, you said. The fans were amazing. Yeah. You said the under-14s were having a good old battle with the Lewis faithful.
We had the under-13s playing against each other before the game, and then stayed, obviously, and watched the game. It's something we're trying to inject into the club, you know, bringing the youth team to come and watch us. Obviously, not having our home ground at the moment. But, yeah, they were very vocal. Sometimes a bit too vocal, apparently. But, yeah, no, it was brilliant. It's lovely to see them down there and obviously staying behind and watching the game for us.
So, I mean, what's the actual news on the new stadium, Neil?
Well, I've been told there should be some good news coming very, very soon. You know, hopefully starting very soon. As I said, you know, when I first went down there, it was the project that really got me going down there. You know, obviously to be a manager of the club is fantastic, but it was also there to go and, as I say, go and grow a club. We started an academy only this season. We're going to start a girls' academy next season, a women's team, hopefully as well. And it's about growing. So, hopefully some good news should be coming to light in the next few weeks about the stadium. But until you get everything signed over, you know, you just keep plugging away and do your own job. But yeah, there's a good future going on at Cray. And hopefully, you know, we get our own ground and we can create our own home base.
Mm. I'll certainly keep my fingers crossed for you, Neil. There's a quiet side eye towards Cray always.
I appreciate that.
No, I won't lie.
Fantastic. It's a fantastic club. The supporters are amazing, you know. We had snow on the pitch a few weeks ago and, you know, our CEO, Sam Wright, put a call out to anybody that could come and help. And there was up to about 15 people sweeping the pitch and getting the game on. And then you feel under pressure that you better go and win for them because, you know, they put that effort out. You know, it's the least we can do as a thank you. And we did, funny enough. And you know, it's a great club, but it needs a home. It needs a home, and it needs its own fan base. And you know, hopefully within very few weeks, we can announce something.
Did Sam offer them all a free tub of Herbalife if they came down and helped?
Don't yeah, say he does, but sponsor us, David. Don't say the name. Get the money first, mate.
Yeah, he's grafted well, Sam, but no, he's been brilliant as well. You know, I speak to him every day. There's good things that we're trying to do down at the club and put the club in, you know, in the whole hands of the community. And as I say, you know, it's all wrapped around getting this stadium up and running and, as I say, building from there.
Mm. Ali, what about yourself? Did you have a game at the weekend?
We did, yeah. We went to the beautiful ground that is Newham Leisure Centre. you know what? I do Sunday League as well. Frankly, my Sunday League pitch was better than that. But it is what it is. The state affairs. You've got to play what's in front of you. 0-0 wasn't too bad or given. Yeah, I've got a game again tomorrow. So I think it's a cup game tomorrow. I don't even know anymore. It's been a long week. It's only Monday. Got players texting me now saying, "Ali."
Well, I must admit, I mean, we went to see, did the Enfield thing. It was probably the best I've seen them play this year. I mean, they were absolutely outstanding at the weekend. And the team itself, you know, on paper, really looked strong, you know, like the first 11 and the subs. You look at that, and when you first turn up and you get given that team sheet, you know, it's been a few times you look at it and thought, the bench don't look too healthy. You know who's going to come on from the bench, do you know what I mean? But then when you actually saw it Saturday, it was like, wow, Sato hadn't even made the bench. It was one of those sort of things when he looks at it. Do you know what I mean? It was powerful. And they had a cracking game there. He's brought in a couple of decent little players there and are doing quite well, which is which is really, really good. So as you know, we'll take the win. And if you go up the same way as what Craig did, then they would have Craig.
I'll take that. They were a good side of Cole Shorten. So
they were
win like you did.
They were
strong, they're robust. You know, they had a great result in the week as well against Lewis. So, you know, again, Steve McKim's gone in there and done a fantastic job with Barry Moore. But I think it's a very tight division at the moment.
Oh, absolutely.
I think it's hard to call.
Well, you can see that. I know people don't know, and you know, I know Brett does, and if Craig's sort of, you know, now he's in the upper echelons of the non-league system, wherever he looks back down. But if you look at that table, you know, at the beginning of Saturday, Hornchurch were top of the table. You know, by the time the games were finished, I think they're down in fifth. You know,
it's crazy tight. It's crazy tight at the moment up there.
You know, just ridiculous. And although Enfield are sitting top now, this, you know, come Wednesday night, they probably won't be top because everybody's playing sort of just below. So it could be a situation where it could be, you know, they could easily be sort of second or third by the time it comes to, you know, physically playing again. I mean, Brett, how do you find the league? I mean, and let's be honest, you know, Brighton in C, you know, Terry probably, you know, you look at the chairman that you guys have got, and you've probably got the best chairman, full stop, haven't you? You know, all of us, I mean, in the fact of Paul Reid at Enfield, I'm not too sure with the Barking chairman, so I do apologise, but I mean, you know,
how dare you?
Yeah, but you know, Craig chairman, the Chester chairman, and the Brighton C chairman. I mean, the Brighton C chairman does everything, doesn't he? He's like, does he cut the grass as well now, Tell? You know, I mean, it's just incredible.
I think to be fair, our selection of volunteers at the committee are undoubtedly probably one of the most hardworking in the league, that's for sure. Our fans are, without shadow of a doubt, the best fans in the league that I've come across. I've only been here for 13 months, but they are unbelievable. If there's five of them or 200 of them, the noise is incredible. They're very, very realistic. They continue singing when the ball hits the net against you. Like, it doesn't faze them whatsoever. They're all in the bar no matter what after the game. And as a committee, they're just really down to earth and footballing people, where I don't think you always get that. I think a lot of football clubs at this level are starting to get run like a business. Mm. And ours certainly isn't. It is very much all about the football, as I alluded to. It's so realistic there. They're so understanding of things. And they know exactly where we are in terms of as a club and as we are as a team. I don't think you get that anywhere else in this league. Maybe Corinthian Casuals to an extent, because I think they're in a similar situation, maybe financially. But anywhere else, I don't think it's quite the same.
Mm. I mean, I still remember coming down to your place. you know, with one of the sort of, you know, when you go to a ground, you always have sort of some kind of a memory of when you go to a ground. And I remember we going there with Harlow. We got there, and I was secretary at the time. We were sitting in the in one of the stands there as you come in through the turnstiles just to the left, and just sitting there, and the Harlow fans are in behind the back of the goal, and they're chanting away like they used to do, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And all of a sudden, the Brighton Sea Ultras, or what, I can't remember the actual name that they use for them, they come in about 10 minutes late.
And probably in the pub.
Yeah, and sitting by the side of me was like a... The only way you could describe it was like the old-fashioned World of Sport, when you used to have the wrestling with the old girls with the handbags and that, and they're all sitting by the side of me here. And as these guys walk in and go past and go behind the back of the other goal, they're all screaming out, you're too late, wicking their handbags like this. And it was just superb. And I know a few of them have passed away now because I've seen it on Instagram posts and that from a few years ago, but it was, they were just such lovely people, you know, when you go in there, especially, you know, it was, and as you say, a massive range of fans from youngsters right the way up to sort of, you know, sort of old age pension people, you know, in there as well.
Yeah, I think we've got like a bit of a, as I said, I've only been there 13 months and it's been sort of the same core since I've been there, but it certainly has got bigger. Like when I first come in, it was seemed to be that maybe 50, 60 behind the goal. And now our attendances have gone up and our away support has gone through the roof. You know, every single away game now we're taking quite good numbers. The minibus is always full. But I have a really, really good relationship with them. They have like a Facebook group, which is constantly on. They have a little bit more interaction with players and management more than probably what they do at other clubs. You know, I pretty much know every fan by their first name bases and things like that. As a club, it's so tight knit. And I think what helps, although it's sometimes a bit of our Achilles heel in our location where we are quite far away from everywhere else, but there's almost like a us against the world sort of mentality, which sort of brings us a little bit closer, I think.
Yeah. I mean, talking to you know, teams that have really got a sort of a young following now, and you, Craig, down at Chesson, I mean, yeah. That's really built up, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's, you know, because I'll take a different view on it to Brett, naturally. Our support was a better than his. No, honestly, I've never known support like him. You know, when we first went there and did one, I think it was about 10 men and his dog behind the goal. You know, we had, I think, nearly 600 there Saturday. And like you said, Brett, I mean, we had our worst defeat. We got beat 5-0 to Braintree. And I've never heard singing like it from the first minute. We was 3-down in 10 minutes. And they sang for the 90 minutes. I felt embarrassed walking off, honestly, at the end. I felt really embarrassed, but that's how they are week in, week out. And like your club, like you said, and you know, I'll get that where you can with Brighton. See, I've always thought it was a good atmosphere when we went there, good people. But I've never known anything like it. And it's game in, game out, home away, like you're saying. They're just so supportive. They're incredible, you know. And it's particularly... The start we had a dreadful start. You know, we obviously we went with the boys that got us promoted in that, and hoping they'd be good enough, giving them a chance. But it was obvious it didn't work out. But all through that period, where we won one of our first 10, they were with us all the way. And, you know, probably one of the darkest moments in me 25 years managing, when we got beat by Dulwich at home. And we were poor that night, and you think, where do we go? But how they got behind us, and also, you know, I had the people in the club, chairman, owner, all the people that work in the club, you know, they came in, and now all been in their office, you know, basically thinking, what are we going to do here? You know, and they came in, tray of beers, and said, look, get your heads up. You know, we were stuck with you for all the good times. Now we're going to stick with you through the bay. And it gave us such a lift, like me and my staff. And we went in the bar and like everyone patting us on the back. And you think we're just having a great run like we were last year and winning game after game. But it, you know, because I think it's very, very easy to support teams when they're going well. You know, it's very easy. You get all the pats on the back and all that. But when you really need it, that's proper support. Mm, nice. You know, and that's going to give us the best chance of staying up of anything.
Always thought loyal fans are worth a couple of points a season, aren't they, at least?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Probably more than that with ours.
Yeah.
You know, so they've been great, you know. And it's just a great place to go and watch your football now. And look, I mean, there was four or five guys in a bar. We had a chat on Saturday, Tottenham supporters, who basically said, you know, it's unreal over there. I couldn't imagine this sort of atmosphere at Tottenham and, you know, having a chat with a manager and players and everything. And they said they're going to come regularly. So they loved it. You know, and that was on pretty well, like I say, Saturday. I didn't think we were great. So, you know, it's getting, and I'd like to think that everyone who goes over there would want to come back because the atmosphere is such a good atmosphere. It's a fact. You get families, we've got very young support, a lot of teenagers, a lot of youngsters over there. They're doing untold work with the youth team and the ladies and the learning disabilities and, you know, just walking foot. We've got everything going on over there. And it is just a really, really nice place to go and play your football.
Well, if you had the choice to go and see Chessant or Tottenham, I mean, you'd go and watch Chessant every day of the week, though, wouldn't you?
Hey, look, every single day.
All day.
But anyway,
it's a lucky in a way we're competing with them. If it was us, I struggled. Don't cut that bit out, Dave.
just breaking a little bit away before we talk to Neil about his fans, because the FA Cup draw has just been done and there is a non-league side in it, so that's why we'll talk about it. But the draw's been done. It's Ipswich or Burnley will play Sheffield Wednesday or Fleetwood. Manchester United will play the winner of tonight's game between Derby and West Ham. Oh, Bristol City will play Manchester City. Fulham or Sunderland will play Leeds. Stoke will play Brighton. Leicester versus Blackburn or Birmingham. Southampton versus Luton or Grimsby. And after yesterday's, what I thought was probably one of the best games of football I've seen in a heck of a long time. And boy, do I hope they win it now, the replay. Wrexham or Sheffield United at home to Spurs.
Ooh. Brilliant.
It would be something else for Ryan Reynolds and all that, wouldn't it? If
I don't mind watching Ryan Reynolds. They won't lie to you, mate. You can come barking as well if you want to let
mine. But what about, you know, your fans down there, Neil? I mean, they've always been... pretty good as well, aren't they?
I'd have been amazing. You know, if you've got to remember, I walked in, we were fourth from bottom and, you know, fighting relegation. And they were very supportive of the managers before then as well. You know, they have been amazing. And then, you know, for us to stay up, goal difference from a different division and all that palaver to where we are now, they've been amazing. You know, we went out to Jersey pre-season. They've flown out there to come and watch us. And it wasn't a great pre-season, if I've got to be brutally honest. And, you know, we were in that situation where, you know, we've got to find a team that can be better than the one before. And at one stage, I didn't think we had one. But, you know, they stuck by us. They're very supportive. As I say, they turn up at every game. They're in the bar afterwards, like Craig said. But I think in this division, I think you are available for the supporters to come and talk to you. You know, the players definitely are. You know, they go in the bar afterwards and make sure that that they can be spoken to by the supporters, good and bad. You know, it's all right taking the pats on the back. Sometimes you might have to take a bit of criticism, but it's all constructive. They just want the club to do well. They want you to do well. They want the players to do well. And as I say, you know, I even go back to, you know, the chairman. The chairman starts it off being how he is. Gary is very approachable. You know, a supporter couldn't get to a game the other day, so he picked him up from his house and drove him there. And there's not many chairmen that are going to... Yeah, there's not many chairmen that do that, you know.
He's a great lad.
Yeah, and Gary and all the directors have been so good to me. They've made, you know, it was Gary that sort of got me back going to watch games after what happened at Bromley. And, you know, I'll always thank him for that. But, yeah, it's a good club. And like I say, you know, the core supporters are amazing. The ones that turn up to the away games, phenomenal because of the driving and how they have to get there, especially with all the strikes that have been going on, but they find a way. And that's the amazing thing about it. But Yeah, I think, again, I think non-league football, you get value for money as well. I think you see the players putting in a shift. You know, no one ever does anything bad. You know, they all give their all. They've all worked all week. And they still give you 100% at the end of the week in those games. So, you know, it's a fantastic club. And like I say, it's about growing it now and trying to make it a bigger and better club for next season.
And how do you cope with your physio?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Be careful, Nene. In little bits. I'm going to warn you. Be very careful what you say next, mate.
Little bits. Every 5 minutes. sort of give yourself a little break and then come back into the chaos. No, she's amazing. I've never seen so much energy from one person for so long, every day, every night, every day.
No, she's brilliant.
The players love her. Yeah, the players love her. She loves the players. So, yeah, again, you know, your management team are just as important as the players on the pitch. And, you know, she's there to support my players as well. And, you know, there is a good relationship there with them.
Yeah, she's a great girl. She's a great girl. She's a good laugh as well, I must admit. When we've had her on the show last
week. Yeah, she's absolutely brilliant.
She's funny, yeah. So, I mean, with the season then, I mean, you know, we're looking there. I mean, yourself, though, Neil, I mean, we'll start with you first and we'll go back up to Brett. I mean, is it now sort of like between yourselves and Gary and that? Is it promotion now? Is that what we're really after?
I know it's, you know, you'll hear it from most managers. It's one game at a time. But my whole thing was to stay up this season. You know, after last season, it was about, yeah, no, we've done that. It's, you know, and so now we're in a win-win. You know, if the season finished today and we're in the playoffs, brilliant. If we just miss out, it's not a problem. We just want to grow. You know, it was about being better than last season. But while you're in there, you're in that little group of about 10, I think. I think we'd go down to Lewis. I think they've got a chance, you know, folks, and have got games in hand. It's so uneven at the moment with the games being played and the games that have got to be played. So if we're in and around it, with a month to go, I look at Chessant and I look at the run they put in at the end of last season. If you can put a run like that together, then you go into the playoffs with that bit of momentum rather than being in there and, you know, just missing out on automatic or something like that.
Who's
you'll know more than
Neil, would you say?
Oh, the best team. Hornchurch were good. Mm. Hornchurch were good. And, they, you know, in Sam Higgins, they've got to finish up. But, wow, who's the best team? I think there's been a few. Bishop Stortford was strong. Averley was strong. Enfield.
It's a really tough division, isn't it?
I mean, there's not one outstanding team where I'll go, yeah, they're going to walk it.
Yeah.
I think there is a collection of about six or seven teams that are, you know, like for like, any one of them could beat each other.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, it's like win one, drop down, you know, win one, go up five, six places, lose one, drop down seven places, isn't it? It's that silly little...
I'm looking at it now, David, it's so tight. It's like 10 points between the top 10 places. It's mad.
It's crazy. But we should just give a shout before we go to Craig. Big shout out to Rob Tolfrey, 600th game for Kingstonian on the Wednesday, 1st of February against Margate. 600 games for Kingstonian. And the other FA Cup draw has been pulled as well. Of course, the ladies' FA Cup draw, that's just been pulled. Why I'm saying that, because I'm quite interested in it, is Chelsea v Arsenal in the fifth round of the Women's FA Cup. Yeah, not good. But there we go. We'll glaze over that one. But, I mean, Craig, for yourselves, promotion? Vanamarmas in Prem next year? Late run?
I swear, the biggest thing, honestly, I feel that we're a good step two side now. You know, I think we can compete. Early in the season, we're losing by the odd goal most games. But and on our up with 10 games, I can't think of a team that we was better than them. Better than. And I think we lost about six of them, seven of them on by the odd goal. But now I feel, you know, we've lost one in the last eight, that we're a decent side now. And I spoke to a lot of very, very good managers in the game prior to the season, in the league. And they said that it's such a tough league. Just the hardest thing is just staying in that first year. If you can stay in there, you know, get through it that first year, then you can build on it. But I, you know, if we can stay in it, then yeah, I mean, I'd be looking for sure. I'd be looking to try and make the playoffs.
I'd love to see Dean's face if you managed to do it. Can you imagine if he was shaking? <wouldn't it? laughs> How much more money? Yeah,
please, please God, we can get the grand, if we get the grand, we can get the grand done and everything. Mm. You know, if they pull their finger out the council, then off, there's no reason why we can't really push on anyway.
Mm. Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
I don't want to go back into that Isthmian Prem and try and get out of it. Because that's a real job.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Brett, what is it? Late run for you to win, you know, to get in the playoffs?
Yeah, I wish, mate. I wish. no, to be honest, we're very. Joe, what's that? Sorry.
Got a chance with your front two now?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, Jason. Maybe. No, do you know what? We knew what we were going to be at the start of the season. I think our. What Craig said is quite true to us as well. I think our first sort of probably 10 to 15 games, there weren't too many sides that I felt that we were better than. We were close and there were some games that we lost, you know, 3-0 or 4-0 and we weren't that bad. I used when we played Craig, for example, over when we played against Neil earlier on in the season. I think we lost 4-0 that night and I think it was 0-0 with about an hour gone maybe. And I thought it was quite an even game. We conceded one. And we went through this really bad period of as soon as we conceded very quickly after. And we must have went through that period for about 2 months. We went 14 games without a win, I think it was, in the league, which is a barren run. But since December, we just turned a corner. We got rid of a lot of players and brought in a new batch. That's basically what we did. And then performances were getting better without getting results, but we could see it coming. And then since the turn of the year, to be fair, I should be here with maximum points. We beat Bishop Stortford 2-0 and it was comfortable. We deserved to win the game 2-0. We drew with Margate the week after 3-2 and they scored in the last second in horrific conditions in the wind. We should have won that. We were then 2-0 up against Hastings the week after and we threw it away. And then we beat Folkestone on Saturday. So we've certainly turned a corner. But if you said to me, we'll stay up on the last day by goal difference or whatever, well, it won't be goal difference because if you've seen ours, but, you know, by a point. by a point, I'll bite your hand off. And that was the aim at the start of the season, it is to stay in the league. We're, as I said earlier, the club and the whole place is very realistic to where we are as a club. Not to say that that shouldn't be changing because we did want to progress this year. We didn't want to be in a relegation battle. We made some mistakes. I made some mistakes, especially with maybe recruitment. A bit like Craig, you want to give the ones that kept us up last year a chance. And also, we've got a bit of a philosophy at the club where we are a little bit financially restricted. We always go for players in lower divisions and you don't know how they're going to react to it till they get here. You know, I think we added 9 from the division below and even the division below that. And I think only 2 or 3 are still here. And we've done that again, even since December. But we've had maybe a little bit more pedigree. You know, Tom Richardson, for one, who's very good at division below. We know he's going to come in and score goals. Sully, who we signed from Bucker, still is someone that I've known forever, but just has no interest in stepping up. And we managed to persuade him to come in. And he's been very, very decent with us. And then on top of that, Jason Banton's come in with loads of experience, who's been at this level and levels above and been a professional football player. And now I look at our team and even against Folkestone on Saturday, I looked at it and thought we're just as strong as them. So we go into tomorrow thinking it's an even playing field. Our home form's absolutely everything to us. You know, we're good at home. We've always been good at home. And since the turn of the year, we've seemed to have made it a little bit more of a fortress again. And that's what's got to continue if we're going to have a chance of staying up.
When you said, and now, I thought you was going to be an exclusive then. I thought he was going to tell somebody that you just signed. And now?
No. If I spend any more money, they're going to start thinking we're up to something, I tell you.
you just said about, you know, sort of Brighton and Sea Region being a, you know, sort of smaller club to some of the bigger boys that are in there. But you look at that and, you know, the form guide on Football Webpage, he says that, you know, you're at a minute, in over the last 6 games, you're on the same amount of points as Herne Bay, Hornchurch, Hastings, got more points than Bognor Regis, more points than Margate, more points than Kingstonian, and Potters Bar Town, who were top of the table not so long ago. You know, you've got 6 points more than them.
Yeah, like, you know, we played Billericay on Boxing Day, and we lost 4-1 away from home. And it was a game that we lost, but when we come off the pitch, there was sort of a feeling that we were, sounds crazy, but we were better that day. It was one of the games we was away from home. We should have won the game. We should have had it wrapped up by halftime. And I felt there was like a real lesson learned that day. And then the following week, going at home to Bishop Stortford, yeah, of course, we went into that game as massive underdogs. They had just beat Hornchurch 3-0, I think it was, on a Saturday. They were top of the league. They were top of the form table. And then, of course, a result like that, it can change things. So we beat them 2-0. And we've just kicked on. And as I said, the newer players now seem to have settled really well. And we've seemed to have got a system at home that is successful and it's working. And we've also got, I think the whole bottom half, we've still got to play them at home, which is quite incredible, really. So we felt that we had a difficult start to the season with fixtures. And we've, as since Brightness here have been in this division, they've always been very, very decent at home. So that's got to continue. And we're confident. We know how hard it is, because as much as we're confident of beating anyone, so is everyone in the league. You know, Bowers have picked up, Corinthian Casuals have got some points that maybe some didn't think they would get. And Herne Bay, we played them 6 weeks ago, drew one all the way to home. And like Neil alluded to earlier, I thought they were a good side. And they've picked up a few results. So it's going to be tight, but we've got a bit of momentum at the moment. We feel that our squad is better than a lot of the teams around us, and hopefully it's going to be enough to keep us up.
And of course, from and please don't take the way this is going to sound, but we are going to spend Valentine's evening together as well, aren't we? On the 14th of February.
Yeah,
he choked on that.
Oh, Brett. Yeah. You deserve that, Brett, eh?
Yeah. Do you know what? Not only am I spending Valentine's with you, Dave, I then fly to Barcelona that night, so I'm not even seeing my girlfriend for the whole week. So that's gone down really, really well, by the way.
I'm going to say, you must be having to.
Yeah.
I just saw it. I only saw it today. I must admit, I like to go back and check and quick make sure I can get the Tuesday night off work. He said, "Were you going out somewhere with your missus?" I went, "No, so I'm going football."
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Take it with you.
But I mean, with it though, I mean, now the weekend, I mean, how confident are all of you for your games at the weekend? Craig, who have you got on the weekend?
Hemel at home. You know, and obviously, they got new management going in now. It was done work really well. They beat Dartford last week, but we beat them in the cup 1-0. Beat them over there, but I think it'd be a difficult game. You know, we've got Braintree away tomorrow, which would be a tough game. So, yeah, but I mean, I've got to be honest, I do feel confident every game we play now. You know, it's not to say we're going to win every game, obviously, but I don't fear any teams. So, you know, we beat Ebbsfleet recently, and you know, you feel when we get results like that, much like Brett said, when you beat a team like that, you know, and as he did with Stortford, you go into every game confident. But you know, there's not. I mean, I look at every game we've got the rest of the season. There's not a game where you think we'll win that. You know, they're all real, real tough games, and everyone's picking up points at the bottom, which makes it difficult. But you know, all we do, we just go into the game confident and give it our best shot, and hopefully, you know, get a bit of luck and get some results.
I mean, Neil, you're off to probably one of the best pitches in the league. Grass pitches.
Yeah, we've got Wingate. Yeah,
just make sure
you're early on it.
Just make sure
you don't cry.
You've got to look left and right. You've got to look left and right when you come out of the changing room, just to make sure you don't get run over by the car going into the car park.
No, don't worry, we'll have a little line. We'll go in like as a little caterpillar across the pitch. But yeah, no, they beat us early in the season. Very tight game. Beat us 1-0. So one of only five teams to have beaten us so far. So we don't want them to do the double, obviously. But we know it'd be a tough game. I think they got beat by Margate, so they'll have something to prove as well. So, yeah, tough game, but you know, a bit like Craig, I feel confident in every game. Mm. And we go there to try and win. You know, we don't go there to try and nick a point, and we haven't done it all season. And it's not something we're going to start doing now. You know, we go and try and win every game.
Mm. Brett, you're setting off for your game after your game tomorrow, aren't you?
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
You've got Portman Regis.
Although they've got to come to us midweek in March, which is a lot worse. But yeah, we've got Carshalton tomorrow and then Bognor Saturday. Bit like, you know, Craig and Neil have said that we are at the moment very, very confident in whoever we play. We've, you know, we've beat Folkestone and Bishop Stortford over the last few weeks, which, you know, there's not many teams who are better than them. They're as good as anyone, in my opinion, them two teams. Carshalton tomorrow are probably the most organised team that I've seen recently. I went and watched them versus Lewis last Monday. I was really, really impressed with them. So that is going to be very, very difficult. And Bognor away is always, always a tough, tough game. We've not won away from home all season. So it'd be nice to break that duck on Saturday. And I think we're going to have to pick up a few more points away from home if we're going to be successful. Bognor are not a million miles away from us in the league, so it's a good opportunity. And then after that, we've got Herne Bay at home, which is another massive game. So we've got a big couple of weeks coming up.
Mm. I'll be honest with you, though, one thing about Carshalton at the weekend, their kit was absolutely amazing. It's a weird one, half red, and then the other side's like a red and white spider web.
And when you try
to pick up their The numbers on the back of the shirt, it was a nightmare because it was like white on white almost, but because it was like spider web on one side, red sort of spider web, really weird. But their best player at the weekend for me was the substitute, Aaron Smith-Joseph. He came on the pitch and, you know, for sort of 10, 15 minutes, just changed the game completely. He was just ripping them apart down, you know, one side that he was running down. And it was.
I think he's just come back from injury. That's why he's not been playing.
Yeah, I mean, he was extremely dangerous. I mean, Femiak in one lead, didn't see much of him, to be honest with you, in the game. But he was, and the captain as well, was it Bradley Williams, the captain? I think it was Bradley Williams. Tommy Bradford, so he was a bloke. He centre midfield, just knocking the ball about. He was absolutely outstanding at weekend. But one question I've asked a couple of people, and I'd be very interested to see how you would feel about it. But and I'm not sure what the journeys are, you know, what the big journeys are in the Vanarama South. But would you like to see, say, like in the Isthmian Prem? I mean, the Southern League have a free weekend, so they have a weekend where there's no fixtures whatsoever. And basically what they do with them is then, you know, if your games get called off, they get infilled into that weekend. So would you like to get to a situation maybe where the Isthmian League said, look, you know, we'll have two free weekends where there's no fixtures, and those fixtures will be like you'll have two more Tuesday night games, but they'll be local Tuesday night games rather than travelling miles and miles away. But then if you had a game, say, Cray against Bognor or Bognor against Brighton in Sea or whatever, and it gets called off, and they've got you would supposedly go to them midweek on a massive journey, that they could just get hold of that, not worry about the 42 days and you've got to put it in and all that business, just slot that straight into a Saturday so that you don't have to travel there either way, you know, during the week.
I think there's an idea, it might work, but I think it'll be complicated to put into place. You know, you've got a few teams now with the 4G pitches. So, you know, I know we've had a cold snap, but we've played 28 games now. Because you've got your games that can always be called on. I'm one of them where, could you reverse it? Mm. If you've got a pitch that can be played on, then the other team has, and could you reverse it early on in the season? You know, because, as I say, we're lucky because we use Bromley's ground and it is 3G. So it's very rarely going to be called off. But some of the pitches that will, you know, if you're meant to be playing someone away that time for us, and we haven't played them, why not play that, reverse it and play at our place and get the game on?
Yeah.
So, I think, you know, the other week, the clear weekends, I don't know whether that work.
I mean, that would be a good idea as well, I suppose, wouldn't it? If you've got to travel, I don't know, to Chessington, did you say Dover and play? So you can actually have them, like, if you've got, like, as you said, if you physically got that, you know, 3G surface, that you'd be playing on that, the home games on that 3G service during the worst of the weather, I suppose. But the only thing the league would probably come up to you and say is, well, Neil, tell me when the worst of the weather is going to be, you know, this season 23, 24. That's what they'd say.
Definitely. I'm just you know, there's loads of options.
I'm with you, though. I think it's a good idea. I think we've said that before, and I think it is a good idea, but it's, you just know that that's what you'd get back.
Try and get the local games, all the local games as midweek games. And if you're going to travel on a Saturday rather than, you know, people working all day and then, like you say, travelling from Brighton City to Bognor Regis on a Tuesday night, or even by us. So you'd prefer to have the local games on a midweek and a Saturday. If you're going to do the travelling, do it on the Saturday.
I'm with Neil there. I think it's just too many complications. When would you have the free Saturdays? Would it be when the weather's good? If the weather's good, and for instance, you can't arrange a game on a Saturday because any of the teams are playing each other, or the only ones available are teams you've already played, then you're going to waste a good Saturday. Yeah. You know, so I think the idea you said about reversing the fixture, because very rarely are any of our, we've had one home game off, I think, in about 2 years at our place. It rains really well. So, yeah, reversing the fixture, I think, makes perfect sense to me. And I couldn't go with that, you know, the free Saturday thing, because I just don't think it'd work.
I think from my perspective, and I'll sound a little bit controversial here, but I actually quite like every now and then having a long one on a Tuesday night. I think it's a bit part and parcel of it with non-league football. Like, it's bad when you lose, don't get me wrong. We've had some long ones and you lose or whatnot, but I always feel that them nights away when you're up against it a little bit and then you can come out of it the other side, I think you can use it as a springboard. I haven't had too many since I've been at Brighton, see, but before at my old club, we had a few Tuesday night games away and they might have been only an hour and a half or maybe 2 hours or whatever. And I always really quite enjoyed them in a weird way. But that might be because I'm 30 years old and I'm not as used to it as maybe as the Craig and the Neil, when they think they've had the experience and they've had the buzz of all that already. I might be telling my age there a little bit.
Cheers, or ours.
Yeah. But now, I like away, a long away trip. I think they're really great, our coach journeys when we have away. But not so much Tuesday nights. I mean, what happens then is the boys tend to all have a kip on the way back on a Tuesday night. You know, on a Saturday, they're all lively, all full of beans, everyone's singing. But, Tuesday. I mean, I'd prefer to keep the Tuesdays as local as you can. Obviously, it don't always happen. You have to travel at times. But, there's too many complications for me. It's all right. If you get the win and you've got a nice journey home. But, yeah.
I think if you've only got one or two a season to do on a Tuesday night, it's different. I know your league's got even more travelling. But if you've only got one, possibly two to do a season, I don't think it's like that much of a big deal. Like for us, for example, we didn't have any plan, but obviously our game against Lewis last Saturday was called off. So we have got to go to Lewis midweek, which is long, but at the same time, it would be our only one. So I don't have any complaints. I don't really look at it and think, well, we need to change the system as such. Where I can understand if you're a team like Bognor, where there is a lot of travelling all the time for them, and Brighton see on a Tuesday and then the following minute they might have Bowers on a Tuesday, wherever it may be, then I can sort of get it. But from our perspective, or from my perspective anyway, we've not really been in that position. And one a season, two a season, it's not the end of the world, is it? It's not worth like ripping something up and putting it on a designated Saturday and things like that. Imagine, like, for example, you think you've got that Saturday off. I don't know, you might take advantage of it. For example, you might think, oh, I've got that Saturday off, we ain't had no games called off, I can maybe please the missus or something. You do something and then all of a sudden, bang, you're travelling to wherever else, or they give you a game. I don't know how that would work. The reverse thing, we were meant to play Horsham last Tuesday night and we've not played them at all. So we were meant to play them at home, and it was a frozen pitch and we called it off on the Monday. And in my head, I did think, well, why don't we just play them away tomorrow? Because we're meant to be playing them away on the last game of the season. Why don't we just reverse that? But it seems to me that there's some complications. I don't know if it's because of refs and things like that or whatever, but that would normally, for me, that would make sense. If I was at home and it was a frozen pitch and we're playing against Cray Wanderers, who have got a 3G and we've not played them yet, why wouldn't we reverse it?
Mm. There's a worse scenario than that, Brett. You know, that you might where you've got your Saturdays is football all the time, and then all of a sudden you've got that Saturday off and you can't get a game in it and you've got to go shopping with the missus then.
Yeah. Or she dragged you to a wedding or something. Yeah. I agree, mate.
I've got one question to finish the show with in a minute. I just want to get your thoughts on it and everything else. But we were talking about Wrexham earlier on, and that one of their owners, Rob McElveny, just tweeted. He said, trending in the United States, the Philadelphia Eagles is the number one trend on Twitter in America at the moment, but number two is Wrexham in America. I mean, it's just mental, isn't it? Absolutely mental.
I love the story, David. I watched the documentary of David. It's brilliant to watch, obviously because of Ryan Reynolds as part of it, because I love football and watching him talk about football is great, but it's such a great story of people just making differences at clubs, isn't it? And fans getting what they deserve a little bit. That's what I kind of took from it. He's welcome to mark him whenever he wants, I don't mind. And Dave Beckham can come there as well. I was banging around non-league the other day as well.
In all fairness, it's a good programme, but it wasn't as good as The Manager on BT Sport. That was really good.
The Gaffer,
that's the one.
You tell him, you were
That was the one.
I'll lend you the DVD.
Have you got, oh, that'd be nice. I've watched it about three times. I have seen it three times.
That shows you how old I am.
I have to stream everything now. But
you've still got your Betamax.
I have, yeah. I mean, in all fairness, though, I would just like to get your opinions on something, because it's a club that, you know, at the moment he's going through some troubles and so forth, and maybe not through the foot of their own. Maybe it might be a little bit of their own. No one seems to know at the moment. But I mean, what's your thoughts, Craig, on the sort of disappearance, especially for this season anyway, of my old club, Harlow?
Yeah, really disappointing. You know, it's always sad when you see a club. You know, get in trouble like that. And, you know, whenever I had to go to Harlow, you know, the supporters could be a bit tasty. But they love their club, you know, and it's a terrible thing when it happens. And hopefully they can regroup and get back together again, because it was always like a proper non-league club.
Mm. Brett, you've been down there?
Yeah, do you know what? I've actually got a bit of a soft spot for Harlow because of when I was at Ensign, we played against Woodford in the FA Cup. It was our first ever FA Cup game, and they used to share with Harlow. And there was about 50 Harlow fans who were there, and they adopted Ensign rather than Woodford, and they were absolutely incredible. They sung the whole game, all Ensign. So I sort of had a bit of a relationship with Harlow. And also, I used to play for the Enfield in the Essex Senior League, and they used to share there.
Yeah.
So obviously it doesn't matter what club it is when it comes to something like as serious as, you know, they're going to disappear and have to start again and things like that, especially if, you know, I don't know the ins and outs, but there was obviously pitch issues which were causing big problems. And from an outside point of view, you'd look at that and think, how can that be such a big factor to, you know, ruin a football club for a pitch? And I'm not, it sort of come out of nowhere. I didn't hear any rumblings or anything like that, so I don't know what was done to try and prevent it in terms of the community, or in terms of the non-league community, because I'd like to think that everyone would try and get together and do something. But again, I'm not overly educated on the situation, but yeah, I really hope that they get in a position where they can bounce back and start again. I don't know, are they going to step six, are they?
Well, no one seems to know. I mean, I think it's all up in the air at the minute. It could be step six. I think some of the fans are open. It's going to be step five. But I think, you know, from what I'm hearing, possibly step six. But I'd say I've not, you know, been told anything or anything, you know, about it. So I'm only reading what everybody else is reading. So, you know.
I think it needs to be a lesson, though, because I think that there's many clubs that take risks with certain things, with money and things like that, and how fragile a football club can be. You know, like the volunteers, they can be overlooked sometimes. You know, the people that make the club work. You know, we've spoke about our chairmen and we spoke about the volunteers and we spoke about supporters. It just shows how important it is, because if you flirt with money situation, you know, I think, again, it's uneducated, but they're talking about they needed £250,000 or something like that for a pitch. I'm not sure how it got let to get to that situation. There was always problems with that pitch. I remember when I played on it, bloody hell, I'm talking like 10 years ago, maybe even longer than that. Non-league, I always think with certain clubs, with a lot of clubs, it is so fragile and it can go like that. So I think it needs to be a lesson learned for a lot of clubs as well.
Mm. Neil?
I just think, you know, all these owners of clubs forget about it's a supporters club. It's for the supporters. You know, without the supporters, there is no club. And I think sometimes they take that out of the equation. And it's the supporters that, you know, feel the brunt of it more than anyone else. A player will go and find another club. A manager will go and find another club. But these supporters that support these clubs that go to the wall, you know, Berries and alike, you know, they get overlooked. And I don't think they get the respect. You know, if lockdown, you know, showed anything, the club isn't anything without the supporters. Mm-hmm. You know, watching those games with no supporters in the Premier League, there was no atmosphere. The games were, you know, they were non-existent really during that lockdown period. And I think it proves how important supporters are to every club. And I think they should have a voice.
Mm. No, absolutely. And of course, it's Ali. I've seen Ali keep going, oh, come on, Dave, hurry up.
Hurry up.
I wouldn't worry.
You want to rush to turn it off?
I know, I want to rush to turn it off and go out for a walk or something. Go to bed and tip in that one.
I wouldn't worry, Ali. You'll be going out in the next round. Don't worry about it.
Oh, there we go. Go banned from the show, David.
But listen, guys and ladies, of course, as well, it's been a fantastic night. It really has. It's great catching up with some really good friends in Neil, and of course, as well, with Craig, and of course, with Brett as well. It's fantastic. And Brett, I'll see you in a few weeks' time. But and Craig as well, we'll try and get down to see a game as well and come and say hello. And I dare say we'll meet up with you very soon as well, Neil, as well. I think everyone will be heading your way soon, so we'll see you soon. But for everybody else, a massive thank you for watching. And you might have seen this behind the back of me, of course, Southern League. I think, why has he changed it? Well, there's a big, big show going to start on Wednesday night from the Southern League. It's going to start on their YouTube channel. First of its type, really, I suppose, and something that I've been trying to get off the ground for the last 10 to 12 years. And it's going to be called The Goals of the Week. And basically, it's going to be a match of the day style program that the Southern League have bought into. And it's going to start on their YouTube channel as I said, on Wednesday. So I'm off to do a lot of editing and putting it all together. But please, you know, subscribe to the Southern League YouTube channel and get yourself on there and have a look at some of the stuff that they're putting on there of late, because I've already seen some of the goals from last weekend and there's some absolute crackers. So please make sure you join in and go and have a look at that on Wednesday. But from me, from Ali, from Neil, from Craig and from Brett, thanks for watching and we'll see you all next week.
Guys.
See you later, guys.
Yeah. Thanks very much.